I'm sure we're very pleased to see so many here, especially so many young people, and many perhaps that are not saved as well. I hope that ere you leave the little hall at Woodland Drive here tonight, that you may know the Lord Jesus as your own personal Savior. Because we're living in tragic times, solemn days, the most solemn that have ever been since Christ returned to heaven, and we believe He's returning soon to earth. What if this were the last night? Every night I hope to continue preaching here, Monday to Friday, as the Lord may make it possible. Try and come. There'll always be a word for those who may not know Christ. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather, today, for a storm is brewing. For the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the sign of the time? It's a solemn question. Can ye not discern the sign of the time? Chapter 24. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? That was the casting down of the temple. And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. Verse 7, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in many places. All these are the beginning of sorrow. Shall we look down, please, to verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no one, no man, no not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Romans chapter 1 for a last reading. Epistle to the Romans chapter 1. Verse 14, I am debtor both to Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now the Lord will bless to us the reading of His Word. The purpose of this meeting is that you might hear the gospel. It's a gospel meeting. And I have read here that the gospel, and that word gospel simply means good news. That this good news is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. This is a very happy night because the gospel is still being preached all over the world this evening in many places. And throughout this day that has almost passed, and yet to be, the gospel will be preached. And I believe that as it is preached, there will be those who will believe it, and who will simply accept Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as their Savior. There never was a day since the Lord went away, but someone believed the gospel. And it will be the same today. Before this day is done, new names will be written in heaven. I hope yours will be one of them. And new converts to Christ. And new ones will have enjoyed the forgiveness of sins. But there is a day coming when the last one will be saved. And that could be tonight. I'm going to say a few things to remind our hearers that we are living in momentous days. We're living on the brink of a great change. Before I was converted, there was nothing spoke to me louder than the prospect of the Lord's coming. Whenever a preacher mentioned prophetic things and began to remind his hearers that the Lord Jesus Christ was returning and they could come at any time to take out of the world his people and then later coming to reign over this old world as a king, it made me tremble. The coming of the Lord did something to my mind that no other teaching did. I can remember going to my room at night, trembling, when I was only a child. And I can remember also rising out of bed and going along to my father's bedroom. And his snoring was the sweetest sound I had ever heard. I was glad he was there. The reality to me. And right up until the day of my conversion, I was afraid of the Lord's coming. But I'm glad to be able to tell you this evening, with the Bible in my hand and God as my witness, there's no message that would give me greater joy tonight than to hear the shout, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh," and we would be gone forever into his presence. Now the Lord is coming. I read Matthew 16 to show that when the sky was red in the evening, they could discern that there was a good day coming. When the sky was red and lowering in the morning, they could discern there was a storm coming. The Lord Jesus said, "How is it ye can discern by the sky what is coming, but you cannot discern the signs of the times?" When I look out into this world tonight and see it, the sky is red in the evening, and I believe that we're near the dawning of a new day. It'll be a great day for us. It'll be a day of delight. It'll be a morning without a cloud. The sky is red. It'll be fair weather. But I can also see that the sky is lowering and that there's a storm coming. Man would be insane that didn't believe that the storm is coming. There's a holocaust coming. Ominous clouds are gathering. The horizon is black with clouds of darkness. And we're nearing it. No wonder the Savior said, "Be also ready." This is a vital thing for you to think about. The prophetic issue. The coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I know that the people of God of this age, the church, those who remain of it, that we are not looking for signs. We believe the Lord is coming, and He may come at any moment. His coming is in two great parts, to make it simple. He's coming into the midair, literally and physically, and when He comes to the midair, He is going to snatch out of this world every Christian, whether he's black or white, yellow or red, rich or poor. What denomination he's in won't matter then. Everyone that's born of the Spirit and washed in the blood will be caught away. That may take place this evening. There's nothing to be fulfilled, not a scripture. There's nothing between us and that. But there are many scriptures to be fulfilled before Christ descends in solemn majesty, and every eye shall see Him. The second part of that second coming is going to be seen by every eye. And He will ride the skies upon a cloud of glory, and will descend to the ancient Mount of Olives. If you could find the place where His feet last stood before He went up, you have found the place where His feet will stand when He comes back. Zechariah tells me, His feet shall stand upon the Mount of Olives, and He's going to reign, literally. No man has ever assumed the throne of world dominion. There's a vacant throne in Israel, the throne of David. They have no king. There's a vacant throne, world empire has no emperor. There will never be a man ever again the authority of the world. Men have aspired to it. Napoleon, Alexander, Hitler, Mussolini, and no doubt even the Soviets now with their leaders would aspire to world dominion. They'll never reach it. But there is a man that will. And we are nearing the moment when that man will reign. The hand that was nailed to the tree will hold the scepter of world dominion. And the brow that was wreathed with cruel thorn will wear the crown of empire. And when he comes in bright array and leads the conquering line, it will be glory then to say that he's a friend of mine. Will he be your friend, or will he be the judge in that day? But while it is true that there's no sign for us, yet we can see right now, the Christians in this meeting can see, some of them more clearly than others. And Christian men all over the world are seeing things they never saw before. Things that our fathers never saw. The early Christians that we knew never dreamed would ever be seen are here. And if we can see the plan and the shape of things to come before our very eyes this evening, we must be very near the advent. When I was a young preacher, I was invited to a village. It was no village really, but it was a suburb of the city of London, England, to preach the gospel. I went down the train from Liverpool, and sitting in the carriage was a gentleman with me, and I asked him, did he know this place? Yes, he said, I know it. But he said, I'm getting out up the line. I said, how will I know it? He said, it's very easy. Whenever you see the lights on the horizon, and nearing the lights of Greater London, you've got to watch for your station. You'll be getting out whenever those lights are in your view. Let me say, using the illustration, the light of the advent to earth is before our eyes tonight. The light of the advent to earth, I can see it. We're not date fixing. We don't know when he'll come, but we can almost hear his footfall on the threshold of the door. Can you not discern the signs of the times? Now the reason I'm bringing this is to stir you up, because there's a number of you here and you're unconverted. And one thing that has to happen before you will ever be converted is this. You need to be awakened out of your sleep. Sinners are fast asleep. In 1980, young men are fast asleep, and in this meeting are a number of persons that are not ready, that have never been saved. Some of them may know nothing about it, and you're absolutely sound asleep. And sometimes it's those that know it best that sleep the soundest. We know people, and they drop into a meeting for the very first time, and as they listen to the soul-stirring words of truth concerning the events that are coming and the Christ who died and is the only Savior, they receive it right away. First night they hear it. I've known quite a number recently that have received it the first night they have heard it. But there are others, and they have heard it so many times that they're in a deep stupor. They're sound asleep. Young woman, if you're not wakened up soon, you could waken up on the wrong side to realize the Lord has come and I'll never be saved. It's too late. We're on the eve of a big change. Can you not discern the signs of the times? I'm going to mention a few signs of the times in which we live before I apply a word in the gospel and hope that you might be saved tonight. One of the greatest signs of the times, the general sign I call it, is the condition that we read about and that the Savior speaks about. When you hear of war and rumors of war and nation rising against nation, you know that the coming is near. In this century there have been two world wars, and the third one is almost upon us. A spark could ignite a war of fury like the world has never seen before. Some of you young people know nothing about war. You've never heard a bullet. You've never seen a flame. You've never known the terror of it. I know the terror of it. I experienced the terror of it. I heard the gunshot and the danger, and I was no hero. I have medals in my library, but I never was a hero. I was afraid to die the same as any other man. And the reason I was afraid to die in war was this. I knew that my soul would go down from a Christian home. War is a terrible thing. Wars and rumors of war. We never tune into the radio. You never listen. You never read the newspaper. You never talk to anyone. But it's the same thing. Wars and rumors of wars and nation rising against nation. Can you not discern the signs of the time? These wars are the prelude of that great battle of Armageddon. When the flower of Europe and of Asia will be gathered together into that valley, and when Christ will come, he's the one that will cause wars to be finished. He maketh wars to cease. Psalm 46, to the ends of the earth, he breaketh the bow asunder. There never will be peace until Christ come. That's one of the signs of the time. The unrest and the wars that are in every hand. Can you not see it? Another sign is the position of Israel as a nation. The year 1917, Israel was delivered from the power of the Turk. But in 1948, Israel was established as a nation. The first time since 605 B.C. They never had a land. They wandered throughout the world homeless. Zionism never developed. The Star of Israel flies tonight in the harbor of Vancouver. The produce of Israel is on the table of man in Europe. There are more Jews in the land now than were in the days of Solomon. They're going back in freighters and in aircraft. From ancient lands they come. I know it's not the true gathering, but it's the prelude. There may be Jews there right now that will see Christ, the true Messiah. They're waiting. One of the leading rabbis said 2 weeks ago, we expect Messiah 1980. The throne of Israel is vacant. They want a king. Before the true king reigns on that throne, the false king will appear. He may be in the land tonight. There may be a young Jew who will regard not the God of his father nor the desire of women. The desire of women is a beautiful type of our Lord Jesus Christ. There may be an apostate Jew already forging documents to claim the title to the throne. Jesus said, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not, but there's another coming in his own name, him you will receive. There may be men there right now that are going to die for Christ. The days of martyrdom is not over. Blood will flow around Jerusalem like water. Thousands will be beheaded because they fail to bow to this false Christ. They see through his deception. The Holy Spirit will reveal to them that Christ who died on Calvary is the only Messiah of Israel. Wonderful days are coming. But the whole thing has been set up right now while I preach to you. Can you not discern the signs of the times? The old preachers never believed that Israel would ever be in the land before Christ would come. A brother sent me a magazine from southern Florida. And in it I read that all the stones and all the furnishings and all the gold and all the building material that is required to build a temple has already been shipped to Jerusalem and is in storage. What are they waiting for? The proper place to build it. How do we know we may even live to see it being set up? The temple. We'll never live to see the beast in it. We'll not be here to see Antichrist reign. Thank God we're going. One of these days, very soon. Another sign, can you not discern the signs of the times? Is the condition of Christendom. When I was a boy, modernism was outside of the pulpit. When Colonel Ingersoll came to the old country, the beginning of this century, he rented music halls and theaters. What to do to propagate agnosticism? He was an infidel, a clever lecturer. He denied the inspiration of the Bible. He looked on the story of the flood as a fairy tale. He pooh-poohed the idea of Christ's virgin birth and his atonement. Hundreds flocked to his services. But there were no ministers there. Listen, modernism honeycombs the pulpits of the land. Men in religious authority deny the inspiration of the Bible today. The atoning blood of Christ is not part of the preaching of modern evangelism. For even there's a modern evangelism that emphasizes entertainment over the new birth. Deniers of the faith once for all delivered to the saints in high places. Denominations that once preached Christ crucified have turned to modernism. One of the churches in England where Spurgeon preached has a modernist adorning the pulpit tonight. Oh, the changes in Christendom, going rapidly to decay. The emphasis is on social work and entertainment. No blood, no hell, no Christ for salvation tonight, the sign of the times. I thank God for every man, no matter where that man is. I may disagree with that man in church principles and in certain arrangements relative to our testimony. But I can thank God for every man tonight that has the courage to preach the new birth and to tell sinners of a home in heaven bought by blood of worth unto, and a Savior who died and rose again the third day. And if you're not saved tonight, you need that Savior. You need him badly. Every man that goes to heaven must have Christ at a given moment in his life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. You ever believed in him? I believed the gospel all my life. But when I was a boy of 19, I saw this. I'm a responsible being. And where I will be is my business. I've got to see to this vital thing. It's the only thing that will count. Young man, I want to tell you, man to man, it's the big thing. When the end is drawing near, if the Lord be not come, and the sweat of death is on your brow and earth is receding, and you can't recognize your loved ones, and you're going out, friend of mine, out of Christ will be hellfire. You might travel 50 miles and there's not a man would tell you it is plain, but I've got to tell you. The faithful servant, in light of standing before a faithful God, it's real to be saved. You must have Christ. Every man must have Christ before he crosses the line. Baptism won't do. Religion won't do. We're not here to get you to join the hall, Woodland. Won't do. You have to come. A lost sinner, hell-deserving and ill-deserving. Come on your knees if you will. I came on my knees. I tell you right now, I came on my knees. You don't need to kneel down. But I knelt down. I meant business. The time has come. It's for eternity. It's heaven or hell in the balance. I must have it. If I miss it this time, I'll never be in heaven, I'll be doomed forever. The Lord will come, and I'll be left. and I'll never be saved. Got to have it. Vital. I had a mother that prayed. She's in the glory. I held her hand as she departed this life. God gave me the opportunity to do it. To sit by her bed and speak to her. The last word she ever uttered was this. I'm depending on the precious blood of Christ. I put her hands under the sheet. With a tear dropped down her cheek. I was a man. Not emotional. The tear ran down my cheek as well. I'll have to shed more, but she'll shed no more. From that room, she was in heaven. She was a simple believer that believed in Christ. She was a girl of 14 in Morningside, a suburb of Edinburgh. She was born. She knew Christ as her Savior. I knelt down and received Christ one day as a worldly young man living a life of sin and wickedness and rebellion. I knelt down and I said to God, I'm a lost sinner. I'm lost. My life's wretched. The whole thing's wrong. I've sinned for years. My sins are dark and foul. Christ has died for me. And I need him. And I want him. I'm coming to take him to be my Savior for time and for all eternity. My mother taught me that hymn of Charlotte Elliot. Filled my mind the day of my conversion. Just as I am. Without one plea, that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, young man, did ever you come? Is there a girl here tonight, and you have never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? Is there a woman here, and you have never received her? Here tonight, minus Christ. Minus salvation. What will you do, sir? Take it in right now as you sit in that seat. That on the cross of Calvary, our Lord Jesus Christ died for sinners, and I'm one of them. And that grand old verse, whosoever believeth in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Christendom is rotten tonight. It's a sign of the times. Another sign of the times is this. The upsurgence of ancient nations that have been buried for centuries. The rising of the Islamic Revolution. The sign of the time. Because out of that Islamic Revolution will come another great leader. The great leader of Israel is the Antichrist. In the last days, the great leader of the Islamic Muslim republics and revolutionaries is the King of the Fierce Countenance. And he may be in the world tonight. He will be the Khomeini of all Khomeini. He will be the holy man of the Muslim world, a fierce enemy of Israel. And of the Western democracy, backed by the great power of Russia and the confederacies to the north, the A wise man's eyes can see the plan set up before our very views. China's awakening tells of Christ's coming. The book tells me that they'll march across the ancient land with their banners flying in the wind, the kings of the east and of the sun rising, marching on horseback. The other day I read in a magazine that China can put 150 million men on horses today. It's nearing the 200 million that's predicted in the Bible. They'll gallop over the plains and through the ancient land. Where are they going? They're going to the battle of God. They're coming for the last great onslaught. China's awakening. The Islamic Revolution, the Soviet Republics, Israel and the land. But moreover, the 10-kingdom confederacy of the Western world, its pattern and shape is before our eyes. The common market, the Brussels government, the Strasbourg Assembly, the Rome Treaty, the words of Speke, who said the other day, send us a man to reign over the Western world. And then he added, send us a devil. They're waiting for the man of sin. They're waiting for the Roman beast. Three great men that may be in the world tonight. The Muslim leader, the Antichrist for Israel, and the Roman beast, the Roman emperor, that will reign over the Western world. You know another sign of the time? Economic condition. The breaking down of international finances. The balance of the yen and the mark and the dollar and the pound. The fluctuation of gold and silver. The inflation. It's spiraling prices. Upward and upward it will soar. The famines that are in the world tonight. A third of the world will go to bed hungry tonight. It's reckoned that 10,000 children die every day in famine. Pestilence stalks the land. Though medicine was never so preeminent. It's a world of pills and yet a world of death. And a third of the world have never heard the Savior's name. Though the church has been evangelizing for 2,000 years. And one of the terrible signs of the times is this. There's very few being saved in 1980. I went to preach in the year 1945, the month of January. I preached in barns, in sheds and tents, in open air. On grassy gardens, on mud floors. Who did you preach to? Hundreds of people that went their way to Christ.
that knelt on the ditches.
Friend, the people don't want Christ. I preached in the same place when there was no empty. Things change. The tide goes out. The next great revival will be behind the Iron Curtain. When the church is gone, missionaries will reach behind the yellow curtain and away in the dark place where the gospel never reached, and along the ancient rivers, the Yangtze Kiang, and the ancient rivers of the east will come a people that have never heard the story of Calvary to fill heaven forever. You'll miss it. You'll miss it right here in Woodland Drive when you heard the gospel. You'll miss it right here in Vancouver, the city of Bibles and of churches, the Sunday school. Too late. Father in the glory and a mother in heaven, a sister in the glory and loved ones in heaven, you'll be outside. You know what your cry will be? The harvest is past, and the summer is ended, and I am not saved. I'll never be saved now. It's too late. Miss it. You not discern the signs of the time. We're in the last days, the closing moment, the hour is late. The clock moves on. It's 5 minutes to midnight. The darkest hour. Christ is coming. Savior said, be you also ready. For all you boys saved here, all you children in God, what about that young married woman? What about that young wife? God Christ down here, he loved you, went to Calvary for you. He waits at the door of your heart that you might receive him. He has waited long. He's here tonight. In this gospel meeting right now, he's saying to you, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He's saying to you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He's saying to you right now, though your sins are many, I'll forgive them all. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You can be saved tonight. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Tell me down here, you're all saved? What about that lad there? Do you know Christ? Very, very important. Vital. Because next Lord's Day this fall may be in darkness. Tomorrow night there's a meeting announced we may never be here. This hall could be a midnight darkness. The world won't know what has taken place. The reporters will put some tremendous news in the media. Radio announcers will make some tremendous explanations of what has taken place. There will be whole families where not one will go. I know whole generations of people and names of people that none of them ever got saved. There'll be seats in Vancouver where it'll make no difference, and offices where the change will make no difference. But you tonight, sitting in this gospel meeting, you'll understand what it is. You'll know the meaning of it. You realize the tragedy. Perhaps you sat in the back seat on a Lord's Day morning. And you watched them. And the sang. You know what the sang? Till he come, the gate to come. Imagine leaving the back seat of a gospel hall for outer darkness. And what your cry will be? Harvest is past. Somewhere again. And I'm not safe. I never did. Terrible. Dark. Dark for that boy in that home, and his father gone, his mother gone, sister gone, brother gone, everybody gone. Some families will all go. Others half will go. Father and mother gone, son and daughter left. We'll not think. I know what we're saying now. How can I walk to my Father and my Lord? But the Lord comes, we'll never think of you again. He said the King. I can't understand having a father's son and being a grandfather of two. And I love my grandchildren. I've prayed for them every day. The mighty say. Listen, to go and leave our loved ones behind is a terrible thing. But once we're gone, we'll never think of it. We'll never think of it. Isn't that wonderful? I can't understand it. I'll not think about my loved ones that are missing in the sky. But they'll think of us. Think of us. They'll never be with us. Too late. What will you do tonight with the signs of the time and the gospel in your ear? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. God through news, he gave Christ. He sent him. He came. Went to Calvary. Why did he go? He died as a victim, as a substitute. He died in our place. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and was buried and was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures, and God's offering eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You have nothing to do, no prayers to offer, no tears to shed. Only believe tonight. You're a lost sinner. You need Christ. And Christ died for sinners. He'll never turn you away. You come honestly. You come with words. Let it come honestly. Your heart, with the heart. Don't need to move a muscle. You say right now, Jesus, I come. This is it. I know that God is speaking to me in Woodland Drive tonight, and I need to say, I'm going to come. Trust him. Rest on the blood that he shed. For time, for life, for dying, for all eternity. The devil says, how will you do tomorrow? The devil says, how will you face your children? How will you face the world? How will you face the odds? Let tomorrow take care of its things, the things of itself. The vital thing is tonight to turn your back on all others. To turn your back on all other things, all of our pleasures, all of our habits, whatever it may be. Turn away from everything and come tonight as a lost sinner to the Savior, to Calvary. And receive him by an act of faith. John 1, he was in the world and the world was made by him. and the world knew him not. It came unto his own, and his own received him not, but listened to as many as received him. To them gave he the right, the authority to become the children of God. Even to them that believe in his name, will you receive him tonight? Be your Savior, Christ, right now. I'm pressing you. Why? Because tomorrow's maybe too late. I'm pressing you tonight for an answer. Because the Lord may come. I'm urging you tonight to think about it as you've never thought about it before, for death could take you away. Maybe a young man here and you'll be in a casket. Some of you work with dangerous tools. And you're driving on dangerous highways every day of the week. The Bible says, he that being often reproved and hardness of men shall suddenly be destroyed. And that without a remedy. What if God were to take you away tonight? And your body were in the casket, loved ones gathered in the park. You would say without that gospel meeting, they would hope against hope that you'd reached out the arm of faith, but they never heard you confess. We like to give people the benefit. Many a time I have said, well, anything we will say won't alter his destiny. To try and ease the blow in consideration of the feeling of love. But many a one I have buried and many a grave I have thought within my heart. Like that young man tonight. Lost forever. Lord, oh, friend of mine, don't miss this wonderful thing of being saved. Don't miss Christ. Whatever else you miss, don't miss Christ. Whatever else you lose, don't lose your soul. God raise it in your heart and mine as well. Our Father, we do bow in the name of our Lord Jesus, and we thank thee for that blessed hope which cheers us through the little while, is the glad hope of the people of God that we're going to be saved from wrath through him. As we heard this morning in the Bible reading, there's none of that wrath of God will ever fall upon us. But well, we feel like John the Baptist when he spake of fleeing from the wrath to come. For we fear that many in this company are in danger of wrath to come, in danger of being left in a world that will never survive the judgment. And alas, while others will hear a message of life, those who have heard it tonight will never have the opportunity again. It'll be too late 5 minutes after Christ has come. Oh God, we're touched tonight. Touches the heart. It melts us to tears. We're so hard, even the Christians, we become so hard. We're ashamed of the fact that a tear would fill our eyes for a sinner. Blessed God, is there a girl here tonight that has come a stranger perhaps that needs Christ, that needs the Savior, could become a bright and beautiful person to live for thee in a dark world? Maybe there's a boy here that God would save, and if Christ be not come, would call him to preach Christ, to carry the lamp of testimony in a day to come when some of us are gone over and home to the glory, to the Lord, the one we love. Father, we ask thee to write it on every heart, the urgency of this meeting, that there may be definite work done. We're burdened, exercised. We mean business. We want to see it for Christ's sake. Someone saved tonight here, right in Woodland Drive, for all eternity. A real, genuine conversion. We don't want the profession. We want the real thing. Father, let us see it. Let it come. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.